the Jewish people reached a tremendous level at Kriyas Yamsuf, and they sang the Shira, where they could mamish point at the Shechina, Zeh Keli. Chazal say that a handmaiden at the sea saw more than Yechezkel ben Buzi saw of the upper worlds. And yet, and they felt a tremendous connection also to their heritage, Elokei. They felt a connection to the Avos, tremendous connection and tremendous level. And yet, right after that, they walked 3 days in the desert without Torah, and they began to complain. They couldn't find water. The waters were bitter, which we'll see means that at that point they really couldn't receive and accept the Torah. The Torah was bitter to them. And the rabbis instituted, because of that, to read the Torah on Monday and Thursday, so they never go 3 days without Torah. Now, the idea is that people can reach tremendous levels when they are aroused from the outside, which is called Yisra'usa de la'ela, where they're aroused and given the incentive from above. But there's also an idea of staying on those levels. In order to stay on those levels, it has to come from beneath, has to come from below, has to come from a person's own hishtadlus, his own efforts. And that's what it says, miyale bahar Hashem. Somebody can rise up and climb the mountain of Hashem, but miyakum bimkom chacha, who's going to stay there? Staying there is not as easy as getting there. So in order to do that, and the Jewish people recognized that, when they said Zekeli, they pointed with their finger and they said, I really see and understand and feel the presence of God, Zekeli. They pointed their finger at the Shechina. So they said, well, how are we going to preserve that? The way to do it is Va'anvehu. Va'anvehu, Chazal say, means three things. Either I'll build him a Beis HaMikdash, or it means I will be like him, I will emulate him in my character traits, or it means I will glorify him and beautify him by doing mitzvahs in an aesthetically beautiful and respectful way. That's called Hidur Mitzvah. The idea being the following. In order to internalize and preserve tremendous levels, again, even if a person is zoche to tremendous levels and lives in a spiritual environment, and this applies to children also. Children are brought up in religious homes, so they have a connection to their parents. They go to yeshivas, and they have tremendous things that are foisted on them, not in a bad way, in a good way, right? But in order for them to internalize it and maintain it and not go off the derech, so you need a few different things. One is you need a good environment. They have to be in a good environment to maintain a good environment. That's the building the Beis HaMikdash. And that affects the ruach, the spirit of the person. You make a good environment, a good spirit, right? And that's where in Ruach HaKodesh you have the spirit of holiness in the Beis HaMikdash. So it creates an environment which is conducive to preserving those levels that a person gets from the outside. His family, his what's it called, Kriyas Yamsuf, his yeshiva training or whatever. Then you need to appreciate the beauty of the Torah and to realize how much it deserves respect and honor. And that affects the body and the emotions, the emotional state of a person. You preserve those feelings in your emotions and in your body by having respect and an appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs and feeling that they are beautiful. So you have to engender that by doing the mitzvahs in an aesthetically beautiful way so it makes an impression on you. And lastly, with your mind, you can preserve it by emulating God, by developing your character traits. And then you can preserve and hold on to that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam by being like him, and that affects the neshama of the person. So if you want to internalize this to your body and your nefesh, which is the emotional part of a person, then you should see the, and engender, do mitzvahs in a way that's aesthetically impressive and honor them, respect them, and that will help to preserve it in your body and your neshama and your emotion. You create an environment where you're encircled with a Torah environment. That's building the Beis HaMikdash. That affects your spirit, your ruach. And intellectually emulate God by doing, having midos tovos, that will preserve it in your neshama, in your seichel. But the Jewish people didn't do that. They recognized that that's what has to be done. But they went 3 days without Torah, meaning without working on these three things. And therefore, the Torah, when you don't have these things and you don't internalize it, then the Torah that you got from the outside could become very bitter and very oppressive, and that's why their children go off the derech. Because they never internalized it, they only got it from the outside. They reached tremendous levels from their yeshivas, from their families, or whatever. So what's the tikkun? So in Mara, the Rabban Shem gave them three mitzvahs to start dealing with, that will affect these things that we mentioned. Okay, what are they? He gave them the mitzvah of kibud avaim, honoring parents, Shabbos, and dinim, civil law. If you think about it, they correspond to the three things we mentioned before. Because kibud avaim is, honoring parents is to show the respect that life deserves. Life is important. And what's it called? Life in this world. And this world, what is the purpose? Why is life so important? Because here's the place where you can prepare for the world to come. So it shows you the importance of mitzvahs and the respect that goes for giving respect for life and for the purpose of life. So by honoring your parents and appreciating the life that they gave you, and then taking that one step further, so what is life all about? It's creating the ability to create the world to come. And you do that through mitzvahs, so I get tremendous respect for the mitzvahs. And I feel the beauty of the mitzvahs because they give meaning to my life. And life is important. And then, so that's the first idea, the idea of feeling the beauty of mitzvahs and the respect for mitzvahs that comes from respect for parents, which comes from a recognition of how important life in this world is and how to use it properly. Then there's the second thing of Shabbos. Shabbos creates an aura, an environment of Kedusha. In fact, Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash are compared. Shabbos is also called a Mikdash. And that's why you can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, because that would say that Shabbos isn't enough. You need something else. So Shabbos is what's it called? It's like a Mikdash. Shabbos is a time when you're surrounded with an environment of Kedusha. You're immersed into the Kedusha of Shabbos, like going into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the second thing we said. In order to preserve those levels that a person reaches, he has to put himself into an environment of Kedusha where he is constantly immersed in holiness. And that affects his ruach, his spirit. And lastly, dinim, civil law, which comes from midos tovos. If you don't have midos tovos, you're always going to come into conflict with your neighbors or whatever, and you're not going to be able to keep the civil law. So civil law engenders midos tovos. So the Rabbanu Sholem in Mara, when the waters of Torah became oppressive and bitter, because a person may have been exposed to them, but only from the external, and never internalized it, then the Torah becomes difficult, and people want to run away and go off the derech. So if you can inspire these people who to the Torah is bitter with a respect for life and respect for parents and a respect for the environment of Torah, which Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash represent, but at this point Shabbos represented, and you teach them midos tovos, teach them how to emulate God with good character, then you're able to save them and let them preserve what they've gotten from the outside, internalize it on the inside. And then the Torah. The Torah is represented by water and by a tree. Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikin Bo. The water enables the tree to bring out its fruit. So therefore, the water of Torah is the Torah of this world. Mitzvahs, learning Torah, whatever. And that is the Torah that is eternal, is the Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikin Bo. The person himself is like a tree. Right? You and your neshama are eternal, and you can bring out the fruit. Olam Haba is called the fruit of this world. If you internalize that Torah, which is the water of this world, then you will make yourself a living Torah, an Eitz Chaim, which will then bring to the fruit of the world to come. So that's how it works. And that's what's it called, and that's also an idea of Kibud Av V'Em, is recognizing the importance of life. Shabbos reminds me that there's a purpose to life, and in order to reach that purpose, right, to utilize this life properly, you need boundaries and limits. That's dinim. You need to know how to function in this world properly. And there's another opinion that says that they also got another mitzvah, paraduma. You have to impress on a child, not only children, but people to whom the Torah is bitter, even though they've been exposed to it or whatever, right, that there are things in this world beyond our comprehension. And you have to be able to subjugate your mind to mitzvahs like paraduma, which are not rational. They're beyond rationale. Not everything in this world can you understand. So there are limits. There are limits of how you have to live, boundaries. But there's also boundaries to your mind and limits to your mind. The Ramban says that what's a simple meaning? What was given in Mora? What was given in Mora were manners, respect, right? How each one should treat the other one properly and love each other and ask advice from elders and what's a hatznei aleches and be modest. Right, and even treat the goyim who would come to sell them things in the desert with respect. Because when a child or a person learns to respect others, he learns the boundaries, he learns what's it called, that then he internalizes what the Torah is around him, and then the Torah can make an impression on him. Because derech eretz kodma la-Torah. So if you teach a child derech eretz, the chances are that he'll internalize the Torah that's given to him from the outside also. Now there's another aspect to this, right? There's another aspect to this. How do you imbue a person with Shabbos, with Derech Eretz, with Kibud Av V'Em? Okay, these are the things that if you want to internalize the Torah that is given to a person from the outside, his family, his yeshiva, whatever it is that he's gotten the Torah, he's grown up in a Torah atmosphere, he's just like the people of the Red Sea. They saw God's presence. They felt a connection to all of Jewish generations, yet it wore off, because they never internalized it. So you have to give them over, like we said, the Mikdash, the beauty of Torah and mitzvahs, and the what's it called, the midos tovos. And we said that was given in Mora. The Mora was Shabbos, like the Mikdash, the environment. Kibud Av V'Em, an appreciation, respect for life, for mitzvahs, for what you do in this world. And the dinim, which is derech eretz. Right? So how do you give that over though? So there's an interesting Sfarno. The Sfarno says, on the Pasuk, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, there won't be any mon on Shabbos, don't go out and collect it. And sure enough, tell Jews not to do it, they do it. They went out and they tried to collect mon, and there was none. And God got angry, and he said to Moshe, Ad Mosai Me'antem, how long will you refuse, meaning you, including you, Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the others, to keep my word? So the Sfarno says, why didn't he say, on them, not you, including Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go out to gather with them, he caused them to do it. Why? Because he told them just, there won't be man on Shabbos, don't collect it. So, naturally, if somebody hears that, what do? They go to see for themselves, right? You tell me there won't be, I want to see. You tell me not to do it, natural thing is, I'm going to go do try. Right? What should Moshe Rabbeinu have done? You should have taught them the breadth and depth of why you aren't allowed to go and collect on Shabbos. What malacha is it? Taught them the depth of the halacha. Don't just tell them you can't go out and collect. Why not? What's the malacha? What's wrong with it? What's teach them the halacha in its depth and breadth. Don't just give them a command. Don't do that. What's the problem with it? And you should have then also told them the idea behind Shabbos. Why don't we do these malachas? What's Shabbos all about? The hashkafa of Shabbos. And then you should have told them the reward and punishment that one gets for keeping Shabbos or transgressing the Shabbos. That's a musr. So if you would have taught them the halacha and the hashkafa and the musr in a deep and all encompassing way, then who couldn't keep the Shabbos? But you presented it just as, don't do that, because it's not going to be. Right? And that people, when they hear something like that, they naturally rebel and challenge you. But if you would have explained to them the reason, not the reason that they have to understand why, but what is involved in collecting money on Shabbos that's prohibited? And what's the concept behind Shabbos and how beautiful the idea of Shabbos is? And how serious it is, because there's reward and there's punishment too. That includes halacha, hashkafa, musr. Had he done and explained to them like that, then who couldn't keep the Shabbos? Then they never would have gone out to collect. So Moshe Rabbeinu was guilty also because he caused them to do it by not giving it over in the proper way. So if you want to maintain, right, build people brought up in Torah, in a Torah world, but they're going to go and not preserve it and not internalize it, you need to give them that environment. You need to give them appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs, and you need to give them the boundaries and limits or whatever. And how do you give those things over? By teaching them the halacha, the hashkafa, and the musr, not just by instructing them, this is what we do and that's it. Right? This is the way you have to do it. Okay. I was thinking there's a connection to Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, the Sfarim say, is the 40-day period in preparation for the creation of Nisan. The world was created in Tishrei, and the world was created in Nisan. Two different dimensions of creation. And then the creation of Nisan, the new year of Nisan, is all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah, and Kriyas Yam Suf. If you want to prepare for it, you have to prepare that all those miracles and things should be internalized. All of that was external. It was a Sra'usa de la Eila. It was something that came from above, pushed on us. But if you want to internalize it, then you need to prepare with Tu B'Shvat. What's Tu B'Shvat? You take the water, okay, which is representative of the Torah, and you make it go into the tree, the person representing the tree of life, who's the living Torah, and then brings out the fruits of Olam Haba. Right? And that water could be very bitter, right, if you don't really appreciate the Torah that you grew up with or the Torah that was given to you. How do you make that water, what's it called, sweet? Like we said, three things. Shabbos, a Torah environment, a respect for Torah and mitzvahs, kibud av va'em, respect for life, and what's it called, dinim, having proper character traits, and par aduma, that there are things beyond rationale. Not everything can you understand. Those things have to be given over, and they be given over not just as directives, but halacha, hashkafa, and musr. And then it's interesting, why is Tu B'Shvat the Rosh Hashanah and Tu B'Shvat? Because really Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, right? The rainfall that came after Tishrei does not go into the tree until Tu B'Shvat. The tree lives on rainfall from before Tishrei till Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, the sap, then comes from the rainfalls that came after Tishrei. So that means that what's really significant in bringing out that fruit is when the water becomes internalized in the tree. You can have all the rain in the world, but if you don't internalize it, they're not going to bring out fruit. And it may take months for the water to be internalized in the tree. Just like it may be that you can teach a person Torah and give him all these things, it may not have an effect for months later or for years later, but it's there. As the Chiddush Yerim says, the most we can hope is we put the Torah Alav Avecha on our heart. It's hard to put in your heart, but if you have the right components and it's on your heart, one day your heart will open up from some some arousal, good, bad, whatever, and once the heart opens up, the Torah that's on it will fall in. So if you want to internalize it, you have to put in this effort. It may not help right away, but it may help later on. And therefore, there's never a reason to despair and to give up hope. The Maharal says, why does the Shira end with like almost the beginning again? Ki vasus paro brichbo. That's the end of the Shira. When Paro's horses came and God drowned them. That's what we said in the beginning. She says it's like a circle. It never ends. It's like a tape loop. Constantly goes on and on through history. And I saw an interesting story. I forgot from the name of who. It says that when the Jews went into Galus, so they hung their harps. The Babylonians asked them to sing Mishirei Tzion, and they said, how could we sing on the strange land when we're in Galus? And they hung their harps up on the willows. So where did they get harps from? They went to Galus. That's not one of the things you grab. Get my harp, you know, we're going into Galus. Right? He says, but Jews understand no matter where they're going and how difficult things are, there's always going to be a reason to sing. So when they went out of Mitzrayim, they took, what's it called, musical instruments, and there it was obvious there was a reason. When they went to Galus, they also took reason to sing. Because it's a never-ending Shira. It's always hope. Until that Shira, that it says the Shira is feminine because it represents the fact that there'll be more tzaras and that there'll be other Shiros, just like a woman gets pregnant and has children or whatever. But the final Shira will be masculine, Shir. There'll be nothing after it. It'll only be a Shir. But if you want to get to that period where everything will be blissful forever, then you have to go through the times of difficulty and whatever and realize that you always can't give up hope. There's always hope. You put the water, take advantage of that rain that the Rabbanu Shalom brings down from above, right? And you make it sure that it goes into the tree. It may not go into the tree right away. It may be months before it goes into the tree. But if you make the right hishtaglus, put in the right efforts, eventually it'll go into that tree, and eventually it'll bring peiros. So a person can't give up on people, even people brought up in frum homes, and people who have, were exposed to Torah in very high ways, and yet the Torah to them is bitter because they never internalized it. So these are the methods that we said that a person can use to internalize the Torah. Once it's internalized, then the waters become sweet. Then you appreciate the Torah. Then it becomes part of you, and you're able to bring out that fruit, which is called the world to come.